Muchas gracias, misionero Miguel Hermos del Marín. Que te siga bendiciendo grandemente.
Thank you very much, Missionary Miguel Bermudez Marin. May God continue to bless you greatly. And I thank our Heavenly Father who grants you the blessing of being here with us. And I ask the Lord to continue blessing you and continue keeping you and continue to give you much strength, Brother Miguel, and may He restore you in soul, spirit, and body. May you be rejuvenated like the eagle. We want and desire for you to remain with us unto the transformation. All the people all over the face of the earth pray to the Lord for you, Miguel, because we love you wholeheartedly with a sincere heart. We love you, Miguel. So I know that those words are on behalf of all the people of God. We love you, Miguel Bermudez Marin, wholeheartedly. It is a great blessing and great privilege for me to be here in Villahermosa, Mexico, and to be with you in these moments of fellowship around the Word of God and His program for this end time, and also for those who are connected through the satellite Amazonas and the satellite Eutelsat 8 in the different countries. For today, we have the subject, The Mystery of the Rapturing Faith Contained in the Thunders, preached on Friday, August 28, 2015, in Santa Cruz, Bolivia. He read to us a scripture which is found in the book of Revelation, chapter 10, verse 1 and on. We can allow Brother Miguel, while we search for the scripture, so he can walk over. If you can accompany him, be careful, hold him on the carpet there. Oh, everything is okay. And thus to be able to spend these moments on this occasion reading these scriptures and also the portions that we will be reading on this occasion, referring to the subject, The Mystery of the Rapturing Faith Contained in the Thunders. Notice that in the end time, it will no longer be a mystery for the children of God. It is a subject that now when we see it, we can then say the rapturing faith contained in the thunders is such and such and such and such and such a thing. It is already an open mystery to us. In Revelation chapter 10 verse 1 says, And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head, and his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. And he had in his hand a little book open, and he set his right foot upon the sea, and his left foot on the earth, and cried with a loud voice, as when a lion roareth. And when he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. And when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, Seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered, and write them not. And the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that therein are, and the earth and the things that therein are, and the sea and the things which are therein, that there should be time no longer. And there he writes of redemption. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he hath declared it to his servant the prophet. And the voice which I heard from heaven spake unto me again and said, in the other Bible he writes, the scepter, the word. And the voice which I heard from heaven spake unto me again and said, go and take the little book which is open in the hands of the angel which standeth upon the sea and upon the earth. And I went unto the angel and said unto him, give me the little book. And he said unto me, take it and eat it up, and it shall make thy belly bitter, but it shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey. And I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it up. He took the little book out of the angel's hand, the scepter, and it was in my mouth sweet as honey. It is very sweet. It is very sweet. There is no human taste that can feel the sweetness of the word. There is no human description that we can speak and say, it is as sweet as this or that. There is no comparison for the sweetness that that scepter, that sword, that word has. And as soon as I had eaten it, my belly was bitter. And he said unto me, thou must prophesy again before many peoples and nations and tongues and kings. There to the left, in this Bible, he writes upward in two lines, Ezekiel 3, verse 1 to 5. Revelation 11, verse 3 to 14, and 22, 16 to 17. Now notice to whom that book is delivered, to the instrument that has the ministries of Moses and Elijah. The mystery of the rapturing faith contained in the thunders. You may please be seated. It tells us in the message, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, preached by Dr. William Soto Santiago on February 8, 2015, in Calle, Puerto Rico. He tells us, and now, what was the first coming of the Lord? The Holy Spirit incarnate in a veil of flesh called Jesus. That is why we find that he said in Luke chapter 4, the Holy Spirit is upon me, because he has anointed me. And he began to explain what he had been anointed for in the book of quotations on page 11. He tells us there, paragraph 90. And now we would think, if such anointing was on him, had been prophesied 800 years before, that it would come. And here he was with that type of anointing, the full blessing and anointing of the Lord upon him. We would want to run all over the building, scream and holler. But the Bible said, he laid down the scroll and sat down, and precious words proceeded from his mouth. That's what he done under the anointing. The anointing is not emotion. The anointing is supreme power in control. Notice, it is not about getting a hold of the power and doing whatever the person wants to do, but rather, it is a divine control in the person. The anointing is supreme power in control, knowing exactly what and how. And that's what is here. And to the left, he writes, upward, first he drew a cornerstone and the ages on the bottom left corner, and upward he writes, the anointing. And also above, paragraph 90, there he writes, the anointing, Luke 4, Isaiah 61, 1, 2, and 3. And also on page 28 of this book of quotations, on paragraph 236, there it tells us, and if God sends a representative, and he anoints this representative and sends it into the world, the people must obey that representative. It's always been that way all down through the Bible. And to the right, he draws a cornerstone and the ages. And above, he writes, the prophet, the anointing of a representative. Our brother William continues to say here, the second coming of Christ, the coming of Christ to his church, according to the words of the Reverend William Branham, is the coming of the Lord manifested in the midst of his church to give us the faith to be changed and taken with Christ to the marriage supper of the Lamb. The coming of the Lord to his church is the greatest mystery of all mysteries, because it is promised that it will be as a thief in the night. In other words, it will be a secret to his church, of which the Reverend William Branham told us in the Book of the Seals on page 551, where he tells us on paragraph 322, says, now notice, so help me by God, I tell the truth, that these are spiritually discerned to me, discerned by the Holy Spirit. And by every one of them has identified its place in the Bible. And there to the right he draws Star of David. Now, what this great secret is that lays beneath this seal, I do not know. I don't know it. I couldn't make it out. I couldn't tell it. Just what it said. But I know that it was the seven thunders ordering themselves right close together, just banging seven different times. And it unfolded onto something else that I seen. Then, when I seen that, I looked for the interpretation. It flew across there, and I couldn't make it out. That's exactly right, see? The hour isn't. This is the hour. At that time, it was not the hour, but this is the hour. There, on the right, he draw a cornerstone and the ages, and he only divides the seventh age. The hour isn't quite yet for it. But it's moving into that cycle, see? It's coming up close. So, the thing for you to do is to remember that I speak to you in the name of the Lord. The cycles and the life of Brother Branham were cycles of 7 years. And in the life of our brother William, he told me that his cycles were every 11 years. And now notice, in let us see here. in 2000. There were seven cycles of 11 years, if you can just verify that for me. He said to me, Benji, my life runs in cycles of 11 years. You need to see how they run in your life. And he would laugh. My life runs in cycles of 7 years. For 2017, it was time for him to leave. But notice how God granted him to stay that extra time. We could say it is a leftover time in his life, which shows this time. Now, it says, the hour isn't quite yet for it. But it's moving into that cycle, see? It's coming up close. So, the thing for you to do is to remember that I am speaking to you in the name of the Lord. Be prepared, for you don't know what time something can happen. And he writes above what time something can happen, there he writes, the second coming of Christ. And he writes Revelation 11. And also writes Revelation 1, 1, 2, and 3, 4, verse 1. Now, notice what our brother William continues to say here. The Reverend William Branham, speaking about the coming of the Lord to his church, says, and remember that this is the mystery of the seventh seal of Revelation chapter 8, verse 1. Which, when that seventh seal was opened in heaven, caused silence for about half an hour. It is the mystery of which Christ said that not one knew the day and hour, not even the angels. And he even said, neither does the Son know. But after Christ resurrected, he then knew that mystery. On page 95 of the Book of Quotations, or the Book of the Seals rather, on the Book of the Seals, there he tells us, on paragraph 205, says, John was weeping. Where is it all at? What's going to happen? Said, don't weep, John, said the elder. Here comes the lion. If he had not returned, the people, as he said, would have to go through the tribulation. But notice, John weeping, there was no one worthy there to take that book. And it was the time for the claiming work to be carried out. And he sees that he already left, he had to go. And in the seventh, when it would become to the eighth, there is where he's told, you have to come back. That eighth victory was for the fulfillment of the second coming of the Lord. However, he had to be present, because in the dispensation of the kingdom, everything that was shown in symbols in the book of Revelation had to be a tangible reality on earth. said, "Don't weep, John," said the elder, "here comes the lion." He was the one prevailed. When he looked, here come a lamb, bloody, that had been slain. Anything that's killed is bloody, you know, it's been killed. His neck has been chopped open or something. The blood is all over it. Here comes the lamb being slain, and he came forth, oh my, what? To make his claiming on his redemption. Amen. Oh, don't you just feel like just going over in a corner, sit down and cry a while? Here come a lamb, still bloody. Remember that by rising up and taking the book, a time begins there. John, there wasn't nothing there. All the celebrity was standing around, but there was none of them could do it. So here comes the Lamb now. His intercessory days is over, the mediatorial days. That's when this angel is going to stand there. You wait till we get in the seals, and time shall be no more. Who will say it? The mighty angel. Time shall be no more. That's right, that half hour of silence. Watch what takes place in that half hour of silence when that seventh seal, next Sunday night, the Lord willing. There to the right, he writes future. And to the left, in this book, on the red one, there are some other writings, but on this one, halfway down that paragraph we read, he writes the seals themselves. He also writes future. Revelation 10:1-11. See, the mighty angel. Romans 8:14-28. And he also writes half hour of silence, which is the time when he is no longer as intercessor. Now, he continues to say, a little bit further in this same message, our brother William says, how will he come and when will he come? That is the greatest mystery in the entire Bible. The mystery of the second coming of Christ, the coming of Christ to his church. He comes secretly as a thief in the night, and he says, behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according to his works. On page 106, on the Book of Quotations, paragraph 923, which is an excerpt from page 15 of the message, Christ is the Mystery of God Revealed, he tells us, and that's what I want to speak on to the church in this morning. The hidden mystery of God that he had in his mind before the world ever began. And how that is unfolded itself right down to this present hour that we're living. See, then you will understand clearly then, you see, on I believe what is being done. See, God had this all to himself. It's a secret. And that's the reason there was silence in heaven for a space of half an hour. And seven thunders uttered their voices, and John was even forbidden to write it. See, the coming of the Lord. Now remember what John was forbidden to write, the coming of the Lord. That's one thing he hasn't revealed yet, of how he will come and when he will come. It's a good thing that he doesn't know. One of the things is because of the imitators. In a message he said, if the devil knew how and when, he says, he would imitate the second coming of the Lord. And that is something. How are they going to imitate the second coming of the Lord? Think about it for a second or a minute. They would imitate the second coming of the Lord. Because the way that God would carry it out would be so simple, and in the common of the people, that any minister could be deceived by the devil and try to look and see how that fulfillment was and try to imitate it. The little detail is that they doesn't have the ministries, and the person will not be anointed. Instead, he will be anointed by the devil. He has showed or revealed it in every type that it's in the Bible. Therefore, the entire Bible is the revelation of God's mystery in Christ. Mm-hmm. The entire Bible is an expression of one goal that God had, one purpose He wanted to achieve in the entire Bible. And all the acts of the believers in the Bible has been a type and expressing what God's great goal is. And now in this last day, He has revealed it and shows it. Above He writes, silence half hour. The coming of the Lord equals Moses and Elijah. How and when He will come, it was not revealed. And He draws a cornerstone and the ages to the left. Now, our brother William continues to say, the world will not see, will not understand, won't comprehend the mystery of the coming of the Lord to His church. Only the bride church will obtain that revelation through the voice of Christ, the mighty angel coming to His church, and thundering, crying as when a lion roars, and seven thunders uttering their voices. Revelation chapter 10, verse 1 to 11. On page 40 on the Book of Quotations, paragraph 325, there He tells us, and we believe that there is to be a church in these last days that will receive both former and latter rain. Former, He writes, of the first coming, and latter, second coming. Notice, because in the time of our brother Branham, although there are still some people left whom will also belong to the group of the raptured, but notice, most of them did not receive the latter rain. Only the group of this end time has received the former rain and the latter rain. Two portions. There to the right, He draws a cornerstone and the ages. Here they sent me the message, the sign of the Son of Man. There is where He says, and when it says there was silence in heaven, not even worship, no songs, nothing. Silence for about half an hour, so that the enemy would not be aware of, would not know that mystery. Because if he knows it, if he knew it, he would cause a lot of damage. That is, he would imitate what the second coming of Christ was going to be. Now notice, the enemy, it is by unknowing that mystery, and notice how some have risen up trying to imitate. It will be scattered throughout the world. In this Laodicean age, it will be a church that's called back to the original faith in God. It will be a church that'll have Jesus Christ walking in it. The messianic ministry, manifesting Himself. The shout of the King will be in it. There above, He writes, the shout of the King. Above shout, He writes, jubilee. The shout of the King equals the great voice of trumpet. Our brother William continues to say, notice what the Reverend William Branham says here on page 148, on this page in the Book of the Seals. He said, oh my, seven thunders of revelation, may He show the bride how to prepare for the great translation faith. That rapturing faith, in other words, the thunders. On page 292 on the Book of the Seals, which is an excerpt, and the excerpt is on page, let us say, 92 of the Book of Quotations, to also see there what he wrote to us. Page 92, paragraph 793. It is this portion here that we are reading, where we're going to read here from 292. Now, we have him coming last night with his great sword to kill. We find out that he gets killed with the sword too, the sword of the word. God's word, sharp two-edged sword, slay him. Put him right down. Wait till them seven thunders order their voices to that group. He said, and to that group. Today I can say, this group. This group. And the group that is seeing through the satellite, the broadcast. He said, to that group. Oh, I can see that group. My eyes are blessed today. My eyes today are more than blessed because they are seeing that group. Wait till them seven thunders order their voices to that group. This group, Lord, to that group who really can take the word of God and hand it there, he'll slice and cut. And they can close the heavens. They can shut this or do that, whatever they want to. On the Book of Quotations, notice what he wrote there. The thunders and the power of the spoken word in the ministry of Moses and Elijah. Notice that group commanded by that instrument, by the fulfillment of the coming of the Lord. Now notice what he tells us also here in the Book of Quotations on page 12a, on paragraph 117. So it takes, even though the sword be the word, it takes the hand of strong faith to hold it there, to bring it to the heart of the enemy. To the right, he writes, Revelation 19:11-21. And above, he writes there, the strong hand equals the faith. The sword equals the word. The strong hand equals the faith. The sword equals the word. And notice, there is a place here where he wrote, justice, judicial power, the sword in the hand has two edges of the truth. On one side and another. Justice, judicial power. The sword in the hand has two edges of the truth, on one side and another. In other words, on one side and the other. Two edges of the truth. Now notice in this message, which he titled for us, or he titled it, this is Brother Branham, Conduct, Order, and Doctrine, Questions and Answers. I have the booklet here. Of these pages, this is booklet 11. Here on page 22-23 of Questions and Answers, tells us on paragraph 93. All right. That's exactly what Paul said many times over. When I would do good, evil is present. See? That's exactly what you do too. With your mind, that's your heart. See? Now remember, you do not think with your mind. Neither do you see with your eyes. Neither do you, three dots, you see with your heart. Did you know that? Did you know your heart has another person in it beside yourself? There to the left, he drew a Star of David. Science just found that out about 4 years ago, you know? Little compartment in the heart, they say the soul lives. Did you ever heard of subconscious? You start to do anything and you think, oh, I'm just winding over the top of it. But your subconscious tells you different. They can take a lie detector. I see my good friend, Attorney Robinson, sitting in the back. And I don't know whether he ever seen it done or not, but I happened to have it, try it, put on me one time about this angel of the Lord here. And they put a lie detector on you, and you try it, to confess to the best of your knowledge, the best that you can make it. Notice, in the time of the apostles, there, in the midst of the people, they had a divine lie detector. In those days of Ananias and Sapphira, they thought that if they didn't say it nervously, did you sell it in so much? Yes. Are you sure? Very sure. There he fell right down. Sapphira came in. So you sold it for that much? Yes. Perhaps this human lie detector there, they would pass it. That's what they thought. That they were there in front of a human being. Oh, well, that's Peter. But something more than Peter was there. There was the Holy Spirit. There was no opportunity then. And they put a lie detector on you and you try it to confess to the best of your knowledge, the best that you can make it, just so nice and smooth over that you didn't do such and such and such a thing, a criminal. That lie detector will turn right back and say you are lying. See? Why? It's the vibration of your nerves that they picked up on that lie detector, see? It tells you. Because why? Man was not made to lie in his original beginning. It's sin and the devil that's on you that makes you lie, see? You wasn't, your make-up is not to lie. That's the reason you have to live again. Because you was made, created to live forever. Live always. And to the left, he drew a Star of David. But see, sin came in and brought death to the body. And then, when sin comes in and brings death to the body, then, of course, the body has to die. But it in there can dwell eternal life. When this spirit is changed in you and you've got eternal life, God will raise that body up again at the last day. He said he would do it. That is what he said to Martha. In other words, in the preaching he had, whether it was that week or in those days, where he said that whoever believeth in him would have everlasting life, and that he would raise them up at the last day. And she said to him, when he said to her, your brother will rise again, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. But he was referring to the resurrection right then. See? The Lord was already speaking about Lazarus' resurrection right there, which represents the resurrection of all the believers in him at this end time, which he had already preached in previous messages. So with the mind, he said in another place, I think I have the mind of Christ. And there he draws to the left the Star of David. Now, in that mind, you serve with the mind of Christ, you serve God. See? The inward part. See? The inward part, you serve God. That's subconscious. There is where faith lies. And he draws Star of David to the left side. I want to ask you, was there many times that you people in here, many of you have seen times where you just know something was going to happen? It looked like it was impossible for it too, but you just know it was going to happen. Did you ever have that? That's that faith. That subconscious working. And there he writes, to the left, upward, the soul, the subconscious. Now notice what he writes there on the front. Faith resides in the subconscious, in the soul. The person knows that something is going to happen. And that's how it happens. That is faith. It is the subconscious working, body, spirit, and soul. Now, our brother William continues to say, and the thunders are the voice of Christ, the mighty angel, the angel of the covenant. That is why he comes with a rainbow around his head, which is the covenant. And he comes to his church in Revelation chapter 10, of which tells us on page 69, page 69 of the Book of the Seals. There he's reading Revelation 5:1-7. And he says, this seven seal book is revealed at the time of the seven thunders of Revelation 10. Now, if you're marking it down, let's turn to Revelation 10 just a moment, so you get an understanding before we get into it. Above that, on that paragraph, he writes Revelation 10. Verse 1. Equals Revelation 11, 3-7. There he's placing the white horse rider in the coming of the mighty angel. He's placing the thunders, and he's placing the ministries of Moses and Elijah. Now notice, and he also writes Revelation 11, 15-19. Now, this is at the end time. For listen, and I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow upon his head. If you notice, That's Christ, see? Because he in the Old Testament was called the Angel of the Covenant. And he's directly coming to the Jews now, for the church is finished. All right. And his face, as it were, the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. Do you remember that angel of Revelation 1? Same thing. Angel is a messenger. And he's the messenger to Israel, see? The church has been raptured, see now, or fixing to be raptured. He comes for his church. In this book of the seals, there is a place here. It might be the other one. Where he writes, here to the right, he writes seven thunders. And also down here he writes, Revelation 10, and he draws Star of David. Or it is in the book of quotations. Let us turn to the book of quotations, page 85, which is the excerpt that is there from this portion that we read. Yes, 85, paragraph 722, you will notice it says, this seven seal book is revealed at the time of the seven thunders of Revelation 10. Let's turn to Revelation 10. This is what we read. Here is where he writes Revelation 10. The mighty angel is the messenger to the Jews. Now, he goes on to say here, on this other message, that Dr. William Soto Santiago preached to us in Bogota, Colombia, titled, Prepare to Meet Thy God, was preached on Saturday, November 14th, 2015. He tells us, tomorrow, Sunday, we will speak a little bit more. We can't say some things. The Reverend William Branham said in the message, Christ is the mystery of God revealed, on page 16, we don't know how he will come and when he will come. And it's good that we don't know. Now, why? So that there are no imitations. That is what we read a few minutes ago. And notice on page 136 of the Book of the Seals, he tells us, but think now. There's a place here also where, which is in the book of quotations, this portion, so that we have it there. 751. Notice what he wrote to us there as well. And we have the whole picture there. Remember that we are putting the jig puzzle together. And the only one who can do it is the Holy Spirit. He is the one who can take each piece and put it in its place. And how beautiful when each one of them fits. And you start seeing the whole picture. And it is also, I don't know if this has happened to you, it is also beautiful to see when you take a piece, no, that doesn't go there, turn it a little, and then wheel inside the wheel begins to turn, and it fits. It is like the strong box that a point come when anyone can turn it. but there is someone who knows the combination and knows where to stop. You may pass the same number as many times as you like and turn it forward and turn it back and nothing. But the one who knows stops where he needs to stop. And he can turn it and stop where he needs to stop and go back again. Where does it tell us? In Deuteronomy chapter 8. Where it says, he fed you with manna, a food that you knew not or didn't know, to make you know what was in your heart. He took them, let us say, around and around. And notice how that in the ages, he wrote to us somewhere that it represents the 40 years in the wilderness. But notice that in the age of the cornerstone, one goes through 7 stages consecutively, quickly. And the 8th is the one where we will overcome. It is up to us to overcome the 8th. But think now, he wrote this. But when he started to write those other 7 thunders, he said, I'm in the book of the seals, page 142. Don't write it. Above there, he writes the 7 thunders and the rapturing faith. He had been commissioned to write everything he seen. But when these 7 thunders over in Revelation 10 uttered, he said, don't write them at all. They are mysteries. We don't know what they are yet. But my opinion, they'll be revealed right away. And when it do, what? This about the thunders. And when it do, it'll give faith for the rapturing grace for the church to move out, see? To the right, he writes, rapturing faith. On the portion on quote 88 on 751, above there he writes, the thunders equals will give the rapturing faith. We've just moved through everything that we know of, through all the dispensations. We've watched everything. We've seen the mysteries of God. We've seen the appearing of the great gathering together of the bride in the last days. Here he draws a cornerstone and the ages to the left. But yet there is something in there that we just can't lighten ourselves with. In other words, to that age of the cornerstone. There is something other. But I imagine when the mysteries begin to come forth, God said, hold it back now. Wait a minute, I'll reveal it in that day. Don't write it at all, John, because they'll stagger over it. Just let it go, see? But I'll reveal it in that day when it has need to be done. To the right, he writes, need to be known. And to the left, a cornerstone. They never uttered for nothing. There to the left, he writes, 7 thunders. Now, they never uttered for nothing. Remember, like the little drop of ink, everything is for a purpose. Everything is for a cause. But notice the Creator uttered, and he heard this voice, and he went to see. But now the Lamb is showing John in the symbol of a church scripture, like for the church to know. What to write, he just show him, said. Now don't tell this just what it is. Don't go down, John, and say, now this is just what this is, or what is under the 7th seal. Notice that is why he said, this cannot be spoke about. Let us leave this alone. This will be for later on. We cannot open this yet. It wasn't the time, it wasn't the moment to make it known to the church. Rather, it is this time. this moment. Don't go down and tell that to the lefty right's future. For if I tell John that, then all down through the age, the whole plan will be broke. On the right, he writes, seventh seal, there in a pyramid. It's a secret, see? He just wants his coming. He said now, and nobody is going to know when I'm coming. I'm just coming, see? See? That's all. It ain't for my business to know when. I'll just be ready. And there he drew to the right a cornerstone and the ages. There's a writing here also on the back part. That he writes, rapturing faith in the thunders, understand. To understand, to comprehend what the thunders are, that is what gives the rapturing faith, what the thunders say. Now, he goes on to say, our brother William continues to say, he knew, because he is the forerunner. That is Brother Branham. And it is in the messages that forerun the second coming of Christ. He said on page 119 of the Book of Quotations, I won't die of old age until he's here, unless I die in an accident or some other way. In other words, that means that he was expecting the coming of the Lord for his time, if he remained alive. But notice, there he says there, I may not do it. In other words, he might not be present when God was fulfilling that promise in that instrument. The veil of flesh had not been born yet in his time. He says, I won't die of old age until he's here. He would have been about 65 years old if he remained alive. For sure, if he would have remained alive, let us say, as it was going to happen, that he would have remained alive, for sure, he would have found a way led by the Holy Spirit, to take more trips to Puerto Rico, because he went there. And he even said that Puerto Rico seemed like Eden, something like that. Blind Bartimaeus. I don't know if Marys believe, but there was one. A few that he preached there in Puerto Rico. In other words, he liked the environment and everything that was there. And what it was like for him to remember through the Bible and through what God showed him how Eden was. Now, there is something very beautiful there. Because the tree of life was in Eden. Now, look, he goes on to say, in other words, that means he was expecting the coming of the Lord for his time, if he remained alive. And he knew what it was. Don't think that he did not know. The third pool contains all of that. And he said, the angel said to him, don't tell anyone anything about this. He told the rest of the pools and they were imitated. On page 4a from this book of quotations, paragraph. There is where he shows us, or one of the places where he shows us, where he explains this. He said, you've done just what I told you not to do. Standing on the platform and trying to explain it and telling the people, and I told you to keep it to yourself. And said, look what you've done. Look at the carnal impersonations you got rose, see? And I heard people say that. And I heard people say, Brother Branham, oh, the Lord gave me a ministry. You got probably greater. Yeah, but just like that? No. Never will be as long as I am on earth. He told me that in the beginning, never will be, see, as long as I live. Now, he told me that, and I hear people say that, and I know it's wrong, but I just don't want how to tell them that. And on the right, he writes upward, not as long as I am on earth. And above there, he writes the 10th vision, the two pools. Don't say anything. He also writes, I told you to keep it for yourself, not to tell anyone nor to preach it. Oh, they passed me here the one of, this is the oncoming storm. There is one of the places where he speaks about Puerto Rico. Notice, to have that foundation there. But 3 days later, when I was standing in a garden. I never seen anything so pretty at Puerto Rico. And Brother Fred Sothman, he may be here tonight, Canadian friend, was taking pictures. And this grade you got, it's pretty here in Phoenix, it's pretty in Los Angeles, it's pretty in Miami, but it wouldn't hold a candle to Puerto Rico. Oh, it's beautiful, and I never seen anything like it in my life. Them big reefs breaking out there, my, half a mile out. And flamingos walking around in the tropical parks and all. And I never seen anything so much like heaven. Brother Sutman turned, he said, Brother Branham, heaven must look like this. I said, oh, it couldn't hold a candle to heaven. He said, oh, them, that great sea. There is another place also where he talks about Eden. I don't know if you found it. Now, let's continue here, where we paused. It says, our brother William continues to say, the third pool cannot be imitated because they do not know what it is. And until we are in the third pool, in the fulfillment of the 10th vision, the mystery of the second coming of Christ will not be revealed to His church. Now notice how He told us there. Until we are in the third pool, in the fulfillment of the 10th vision, that mystery of the second coming of the Lord would not be revealed. And that was in 2015. Now, look on page 2A. Paragraph 11. There it tells us, I know and I want you to remember, there is something fixing to happen. Remember, I told you that. There is a step up coming in the church now. Remember that we read there that he said we couldn't get to that. But here he's already telling us, here he told us that the church would get to that place. How? By going up a step. And there he draws to the left a cornerstone and the ages, and an arrow towards the cornerstone. See, these things that you are now seeing are going to be just little things after a while. Some things are moving. And I say this by the power of the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom I, everyone in our own doctrine, in our own baptism, we've come to a place. But there is some key that unlocks something here. Now, he saw the book sealed on seven seals. And when Daniel saw the same, and when the thunders uttered their voices, he said, don't write what that was in the scripture, but it be revealed in the last days. We're at the time. We're at Kadesh right now. And above he writes, in Kadesh Barnea, today, before the stone of the second coming, the coming of Christ. Here a few nights ago, I went into Brother Vibert's over from at Baduca, Kentucky, crossed over into Evansville. Oh, Brother Bosworth was with me. And I said, that day I said, it just keep burning on my heart a message that I know that something God hath promised on the opening up of the power. Yet, I'm waiting now for Him, which I believe will appear to me visible. I say it with reverence. I seen Him twice. Of course, it was vision. And I've been feeling for the last few months that I'll see Him again. Here, pretty soon, that He will reveal again something that's fixing to come forth. Oh, brother, if I have it right, God forgive me if I'm wrong, but seeing it in the scripture, seeing that when He rose and ascended up, He received a new name that no one knows about. Then I see Him coming in His power. There to the left, upward, He writes, the new name and the faith. In the 70 weeks of Daniel, on page 59, it tells us, do you get it? There, on page 59, paragraph 114, where he begins, do you get it? Oh my. Now, Paul speaking, the time when the seal of God is being made known, His Spirit, His name, His grace, all these other great mysteries that's going forth now, plans for His church to go in the rapture. The outpouring of the Holy Ghost has done this. That's what He's done in the last days. There to the left, he writes upward, the rapturing faith, seventh seal, and the name. And also to the right, there at the beginning of the paragraph to the right, above, he draws Star of David. And he writes, when the seal of God is being made known. Now, our brother William keeps on saying here, he says, now, if that faith can come at that time, why can't it stay all the time? When that boy standing there and his eyes blowed out like that, I look at him and there is something. I said, Lord, this is what I'm believing. Now there is a keynote how to go in there, and I believe that God's going to let me know it. So then, if that happened, these things that you're seeing will be so amateur up the side of what thou be when it is fully revealed. Notice, we're on the verge, brother. Somebody's come back from Canaan. Yes, Lord. Somebody's come back from Canaan. The grapes are good. The fruits of the land are good. Of course they are. It's our land. God gave it to us. He drew Star of David to the right. We can take it. God said so, didn't he? God said we had it. It's ours. And we're living in the last days. Don't you believe it? He said, in the last days, I'll send down the rain in abundance like that. Both former and latter rain will fall in this day. And what they had back there, plus what God's going to give us, is right now at hand. And he writes, former rain in the east, latter rain in the west. Now, our brother William continues to say here, we are in the message, prepare to meet thy God. It says, remember that in the tenth vision, the Reverend William Branham was taken there, and the angel who spoke to him was with him. And then says that he saw the pillar of fire come down to the place of that little room. The pillar of fire, Jesus Christ, the angel of the covenant. In the message, the stature of a perfect man. On page 10. The Reverend William Branham tells us, now, these people, Peter is saying here, how that we must be partakers of his divine nature. Now, each one of us are trying to grow into the stature of God. Now, after we get through with the seven seals, then at that time of the sounding of the seventh seal, or the loosening, three dots. And to the right, he writes the seventh seal. There also he writes, what is a seal? As a question. It is the loosening of a mystery. And he writes the seventh seal. Of course, we know what a seal is. It's to loose the ministry, to loose seven seals. And we'll see that right on the chart. It's loosing a message, something that's sealed up. Last Sunday night, I preach on the key. And the key is faith. The faith holds the key. There he has said that the key was needed to open something. What was needed? The rapturing faith. The faith holds the key, and the key is the scripture. And Christ is the door, see? So faith takes the little hinges of the scripture and unlocks the glories and the good of God out to his people, see? So it's faith holds the key that unlocks Christ to the people, unlocks it, reveals it. And there to the right, he draws a cornerstone and the ages. And do you remember the quote which says that the seventh seal will come in front of you? That goes there with that. Notice how the scriptures go or how they come, where each one of them have to fit. and that staff from all of Latin America is there searching. All in one body, on one mind. Remembers Friday's message? I think it was, where he said, it's good for you to study Brother Branham's messages so that you can help me. You remember? In other words, and that way, you could find him the quotes there. You could see me in the recording. Look, it's this one. In other words, notice how now the elect of God at this time have more and more light and more knowledge of everything that the Reverend William Branham brought us. And perhaps at that time that knowledge wasn't there because it took a little while for him looking for that excerpt and no one found it for him. Perhaps they didn't have the advances that we have now. Although that message was not that long ago, but perhaps technology was not that advanced at that time. But now notice, look, and there it is, quotes 97, paragraph 838. It's right quick. I gave them a little time there talking so that... But let us go to that quote as we continue here. Look, 97, and you already have it there. God has given us these advances and technology and also how the elect of God are catching all of that, grasping all of that. And they are of a great blessing for this end time in the fulfillment of the third pool. Page 97 there says, and all of you are conscious and know that there is something mysterious happening. And it is happening, and I know what it is. See, he already knew what it was. Now, I'm just not saying that. It's the grace of God that lets me know what it is. It's something that's tremendous. And it's gone right now, and there's no way in the world for you to see it. And it's, oh, but so help me with this Bible in my hand, I know what it is. It's been told you before, so just don't try to put any interpretation, but just believe me as your brother. That is why he said in the book of the seals, you will have to believe me by my words. Because he would not make that mystery known openly. See, we're living in a great hour. See, every time you've tried to do it, you've done that. Just don't try to make no interpretations. And especially tonight, when that seal becomes up in front of you, and he writes, the second coming of the Lord. See, when that seal becomes in front of you, see, just don't try to interpret it. If you can understand it, this is that third pool. What is the third pool? The seventh seal. The second coming of the Lord. And below he writes, the seventh seal is the third pool. And above he writes, there's no way of seeing it, the seventh seal, but it will come in front of you. Today it is in front of Villahermosa and in front of the channels. Front of the satellite Amazonas and internet and other means of communication. Fulfilled word. That seventh seal will come in front of you. That is why he said, whenever a scripture is and would be getting fulfilled, that instrument could say, this day is the scripture fulfilled before you. He continues to say, in the stature of a perfect man, so today we're going to try to take that same key to unlock the way to become a virtuous Christian in the stature of God, that and be a living tabernacle for the living God to dwell in. There to the left, he writes upward, the key equals the scripture. The key equals the faith. Remember, God reveals himself in three ways. First time, he revealed himself in a pillar of fire. There to the left, he drew a Star of David. And in first time, he writes one. First time, he revealed himself in a pillar of fire. To the right, he writes the pillar of fire. That was called the fatherhood. And he writes dispensation of the law. Then, there he writes two. Then that same God made manifest in Jesus Christ. And he writes dispensation of grace, which he built a body, made this body. Thirdly, and he writes three. Thirdly, through the death of that body, he sanctified a church that he can dwell in. It was God above us, God with us, God in us, the same God. That's the reason it was called Father, Son, Holy Spirit, not three gods, three offices of one God. Now, he on the front, let us see, there's a place here where he writes, or at the back. Here at the back he writes, faith holds the key. Faith holds the key. The revelation. Now notice. He goes on to say here, in other words, they go down to that pool. He's speaking about Brother Branham and the angel. And he will be the one to perform all those wonders. It will be Christ coming to his church in a cloud. In other words, he was talking about Brother Branham and the angel, and then of the pillar of fire. Let's read it all together. And then he says that he saw the pillar of fire come down to the place of the little room. The pillar of fire, Jesus Christ, the angel of the covenant. In other words, they go down to that pool. And he will be the one who will perform all those wonders. That is the pillar of fire. It will be Christ coming to his church in a cloud. The pillar of fire. God in the pillar of fire visiting his church to give her the faith to be changed and taken with Christ to the marriage supper of the Lamb. In the message, perfect faith tells us there, on page 8, paragraph 51 says, Now we see, at first the disciples didn't have this perfect faith. They did not have it because they'd had Christ walking with him. But then afterwards Christ was in them. And so, you see, it's hard then to have this perfect faith without the Holy Spirit. It has to bring it. It does. Now, you say, the disciples didn't have perfect faith. No, for they had an epileptic child there that they were trying to cast this devil out of him, and they couldn't do it. And the father seeing Jesus coming and said, we have brought my son to your disciples, and they could not cure him. See? There to the left, he writes, the disciples did not have faith. And to the right, he writes, the Spirit brings the perfect faith. And notice what he writes at the bottom, the Holy Spirit incarnate. being inside the body of believers brings the perfect faith, the rapturing faith. And what were we told on page 161 of the Book of the Seals? When this Holy Spirit that we have becomes incarnate, if it becomes incarnate, then the people in which the Holy Spirit would be in flesh would obtain the rapturing faith. They could not have the rapturing faith in any of the ages, because that Holy Spirit had not become flesh. But it was promised that the Holy Spirit that was in the midst of the ages will become flesh. And then it says there, then we will crown him King of Kings and Lord of Lords, because a spirit cannot be crowned. Because it says, and afterwards the disciples asked Jesus, saying, why could not we cure him? And Jesus said, because of lack of faith, of your unbelief. That's right, because of your unbelief. Now remember, they had the power. Jesus had given them power to heal the sick, to raise the dead, and cast out devils. Just a few days before that, they had the power, but not the faith to use the power. Now, there is the Branham Tabernacle. There is the church, the bride today. The Holy Spirit is here with the power, but you haven't got the faith to move it. See what I mean? It takes faith to move it. And on the left he writes, faith to use the power. And above there, in that margin, he writes, the bride and the Branham Tabernacle did not have faith to move the power. Now notice here on page, in other words, in the last pages, there is a place here. Let us see where that portion is, which he wrote here, here it says, the disciples did not have perfect faith when Christ walked with them in the beginning. And he also writes, the Holy Spirit brings faith while being inside the church, incarnate. He is the one who brings the rapturing faith, the Holy Spirit. Now, on page 24, let us also see here another place of this message, perfect faith. It tells us, think of that. The Word of God is that, a discerner of the intents of the heart. The Word made flesh, hallelujah. The Word operating in human flesh by physical signs, by material signs, by scriptural signs, perfectly, to bring to you a perfect faith for a perfect rapture. Why can't we look at it? There he writes, they don't see it. And above he writes, the Word incarnate, in the margin there on that paragraph, he writes, the Word incarnate. And also to the left, he writes, rapturing faith. Not a mystic. The devil has put everything in the world before you, try to keep you from believing it. He'll bring it in a meeting and try to throw everything he can in front of you, shake it away from you. The Bible says, rise and shake yourself. Pinch yourself. There he also writes, the devil will show you many things in the service, because he comes to try to divert the attention of the elect. Also through that fight in the mind. But he says, shake that off. Don't let it in. There's a place where he says that some come to listen and receive, others to criticize, others for certain things. He wrote that in a message. We come to receive from the Lord the revelation, the rapturing faith. That spiritual food that prepares us to obtain those promises. His spirit is here. He knows you. You've got one thing to do, and that's to believe it, to accept it. He knows. You believe that? He knows what's in you. He knows what you are. He knows what your desire is. He knows what you have need of. Now, Brother William goes on to say here, remember, the thunders will reveal to the church the mystery of His coming, the mystery of the seventh seal, and will give her a revival, an awakening. And the seven thunders are the voice of Christ, the mighty angel that comes down from heaven with the little book open in his hand, crying as when a lion roars, and seven thunders uttering their voices. Christ speaking with a voice of a lion, crying out, roaring as when a lion roars, and seven thunders uttering their voices. On page 243 in the Book of the Seals, page 243, He tells us. Now, that's what's the reason today that the revivals that we're supposed to have, we have denominational revivals. We haven't had a real stirring. No, 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 sir. Don't think we got revivals. We haven't. Oh, they've got millions and millions and millions of church members, but not a revival nowhere. No, no. The bride hasn't had a revival yet, see? There has been no revival there, no manifestation of God to stir the bride yet, see? We're looking for it now. He'll take those seven unknown thunders back there to wake her up again, see? Yeah, He'll send it. He promised it. There He drew a cornerstone and the ages and an arrow towards the cornerstone. Now notice in the Book of Quotations, also on page 11, paragraph 91. He tells us, God appeared to him one day, and he said, Abraham, I am Almighty God. Walk before me and be perfect. 100 years old, right on 100. That is, right on 100. Walk before me and be perfect. I am Almighty God. And if you would break those words down, sometime maybe I'd like to have a revival at the tabernacle or here in Jeffersonville when we get our tent. There to the left, he writes, the tent. And things set up somewhere where we can take those words and break them down. See what they mean, just the meaning of those words. The Almighty in the Hebrew is El Shaddai, which means the breast, like a woman. Above there he writes, the tent, to reveal the meaning of the words written in the Bible. Revival. Here in the message, what is the attraction on the mountain? On page 8, there is where he writes. Brother Branham says, God then, what was he doing? What is the attraction up there on the hill? It's God making history and God fulfilling prophecy. That's what we are carrying out in the age of the cornerstone. We are making history, my brethren. The seventh seal and the bride making history. And what else? And fulfilling prophecies. Fulfilling the words that were spoken by the holy prophets, the ones that they spoke, thinking, many of them thinking that it was in the time in which they were living, and they couldn't reach them. They saw them from afar, they embraced them from afar. We greet them, we see them, we laughed with them, we cried them, we hugged them. When you hug your brother, not your sister, and if she is your wife, you hug her. You are hugging a fulfillment prophecy there. When you say, God bless you to a brother, you are blessing a walking prophecy. Oh, blessed be the Lord. What God is carrying out and fulfilling in this time is great. Can you imagine what the prophets desire to see, hear, stand, walk, but they couldn't? And you may say, well, who am I to deserve so much? You are a king and a queen. We are kings and priests. We are his attributes. We are part of his theophany. Look, the greatest thing that God has at this time on this planet Earth is you and me. There is no one greater in this world than the bride of the Lord, his church bride. That is the greatest thing that God has on this earth. And the 144,000 Hebrews. Now notice on page 8 where we were reading of the message what is the attraction on the mountain? God then, what was he doing? What is the attraction up there on the hill? Is God making history and God fulfilling prophecy? And that always causes an attraction. It brings all the critics up, the vultures of this morning's message, and the eagles also, see? They come together to find out what's going on. Some coming for curiosity. Some coming to find faults or mistakes. Others coming to criticize the critics. There are all kinds gathered. As we said this morning, believers make believers and unbelievers. What's on the mountain? Prophecy is being fulfilled. Now we'll see what takes place. Now look here in this writing from page 11, paragraph 91, there, the tent to reveal the meaning of the written words in the Bible, revival. And notice on 136, page 136. Paragraph 12:14. It says, now that's no evidence of the Holy Ghost, see? You can't rely upon that. You can't rely upon the fruit of the Spirit, because the first fruit of the Spirit is love. And the Christian Science exercise more love than anybody I know of. And they even deny Jesus Christ being divine, see? There is only one evidence of the Holy Spirit that I know of, and that is a genuine faith in the promised word of the hour. And there he writes, with Elijah and Moses today, in the second coming of the Lord. And to the right, he draws a cornerstone and the ages. And on top he writes there, the evidence of the Holy Spirit is a genuine faith in the word of the hour. If you believe who I am on this morning, then you have genuine faith. Then that faith is growing in you. If you do not believe that I am, as Jesus said in one occasion, you shall die in your sins. Now, that new mercy seat at this end time is open to the church bride. She is the only one who obtains mercy. Now notice, he goes on to say, the Reverend William Branham says that the seven thunders contain the mystery of the seventh seal. Therefore, with the revelation of the mystery of the seventh seal, that will be given to us by the seven voices of the mighty angel of Christ at the last day, it will give us the faith to be changed. It will reveal to us the mystery of his second coming, the mystery of his visit to meet his church at the last day. Page 122 on the Book of Quotations. Paragraph 1092, it tells us, and I am looking for a time of a break forth of the Spirit of God in these last days that we are now living in, for another search of the Holy Spirit into the church, for a rapturing faith, just before it comes. And everything is setting straight in order for that. And to the left he draws a cornerstone in the ages, another search, and there an arrow towards the cornerstone. And above he writes, rapturing faith and the other surge of the Holy Spirit. In other words, there he tells us that there is another surge of the Holy Spirit. Now, in the dispensation of grace, it is the holy place. That is the Spirit. But when we go on to the most holy place, it is the soul. Now remember what he wrote there. Not all the born again will make the rapture. Everything that God was carrying out under the dispensation of grace is in the holy place. And certain things were carried out in the divine program that corresponded to the holy place. And a work was done there. And a work was carried out there. But notice that upon passing to the dispensation of the kingdom and the age of the cornerstone, which is the part of the soul of the most holy place, there, notice, that is why at some point, they will be able to say, but Lord, I did this, I did that. He even cast out demons and did this and that. Depart from me, you that work iniquity, I know you not. They had not received the Holy Spirit in their soul. Now, there was a process to carry out that under the dispensation of grace in the holy place. Now, he goes on to say here, we need to know those mysteries which are going to be revealed in the third pool, mentioned by our brother Branham, in the fulfillment of the tenth vision. Therefore, there is a lot of blessing for that time of the fulfillment of the tenth vision. In this message that we read of questions and answers of the book Conduct, Order, and Doctrine of the Church, there he tells us on page 5, page 5, paragraph 17 to 18, he says, "And now the church has assembled together tonight to worship you." He is praying. We've come to answer questions that's been asked. It's the sincerity and the heart of the people that these things puzzle them in their mind. And Lord, we do realize that if anything is puzzling us, we can never have faith as long as there is a question. So, we do not want any questions. Lord, we do not want any questions. Answer all questions, Lord, through your word. May each person who has a question, Lord, may you answer them the way that you always have answered them, by your word. Lord, so we do not want any questions. And there to the left, he draws a Star of David. And he writes, "As long as there is a question, we cannot have faith." Lord, we see the need of the baptism of the Holy Ghost among our people and among this church. And we don't want any questions in their mind. We want it all cleared up so that they'll know what it is when it comes and know that it's for them. Now, our brother William continues to say here, without the fulfillment of the 10th vision, we cannot be changed, because there is where he will give us the faith to be changed, the rapturing faith. Therefore, we are supporting that project of that vision, which was shown to the Reverend William Branham, to be fulfilled in the midst of Christianity at the end time. And thanks to God that we have been given that part of being those who are hand in hand with the fulfillment from its beginning, and that we were not people who hindered the fulfillment of the 10th vision, and that we did not hinder the 10th cathedral from being built. But brethren, there were struggles from the beginning that you cannot even imagine, of which this morning we read something where he had to struggle with that. And he said that, "I confirm," he said there in that writing. In other words, first hand, "I confirm that this is so." And he writes people there who at that time they were looking for a way to prevent the fulfillment of the construction in Puerto Rico, and who were getting in the way and looking for a way. No, that can't be there. And where are they now? Now notice that all of that, at the end and in the end time, comes forth. And also those who were from the beginning hand on hand are shown. And they were not disobedient to the heavenly vision, but rather they were believers in the message of our brother Branham and to the message of our brother William. Those are the true believers, that when God is carrying out and fulfilling what he promised, they are present there. They say, "I believe it, Lord, with all of my heart." Without the fulfillment of that vision, there is neither resurrection, nor transformation, nor rapture for the believers in Christ at the last day. As simple as that. In other words, those who were against, well, notice, they did not want there to be a resurrection, nor transformation, nor rapture. They did not want that to be fulfilled. And the only one who doesn't want the divine promises to be fulfilled is the devil. And that vision will be fulfilled at the last day, in the stage of the age of the cornerstone, in the midst of the believers who will be in the stage of cornerstone. Here they are, a group of brethren. Those brethren, that bride, who would be in that stage of cornerstone. Notice on page 4, on the book of quotations, paragraph 28, it says, I truly believe before the church can have the rapture, it's got to have rapturing faith. We can't even have faith for divine healing, let alone rapturing faith. Got to have a faith that'll change and quicken this body and be taken away. I believe there is a church on its road tonight, a power of the living God, that man will speak the word here and there, and it'll flash like lightning. And a church is coming out, not a psychologist, not some of this put on make-believe, but a real, true, genuine, anointed Holy Ghost called out church. And to the right, he writes upward as lightning. And above, he writes, he draws a cornerstone and writes, he will speak the rapturing faith. Our brother William continues to say, if it was supposed to be fulfilled in the time of Paul, it would have been up to Paul and his group to build that great tent cathedral. And he was also a tent builder. So for sure, he had some tents for meetings as well. But the vision is for the last day, of which on page 29, on the book of quotations, paragraph 248, it tells us, Brother Branham talks about the creation of squirrels. I say, is this the scripture that you're trying to get to me? Is this that other step that we're coming up to? You gave me a vision and said it be confirmed in a little building somewhere in a meeting when the tent gets started. I said, is this what it's leading to? If it is, Lord, then I'll take you by your word. We have also taken him by his word. I said, and there shall come a young red squirrel and sit on that old naked limb out yonder, and I'll shoot him from right here. Now here, he wrote to the right, the tent. I said, if this be my new ministry that's coming in, something's greater than he will finally confirm in that little building. I said, if it be that, I said, if the Lord was confirming my ministry there to let me know that he's going to help his people and let me do it. There to the right, upward, he writes, the confirmation of the third pool. I said, then the same Jehovah Jireh, I was in need of a squirrel the same as he, Abraham, was in need of a ram. And I believe Jehovah Jireh placed it there by his same spoken word. Jehovah equals Jireh. He wrote that at the bottom. And above he writes, rapturing faith, the tenth vision, squirrels created equals by the spoken word. Now, our brother William continues to say, if it would have been for one of the seven messengers like the Reverend William Branham, he, along with his group of his age, would have to build that vision, make it a reality. That is why he tried. He said that he was going to build a tent, that he was going to be preaching such and such a thing. What is going to happen later on in that age of the cornerstone was being reflected in him. What God will do at the end in the age of the cornerstone is reflected in the messengers of each age. That is what we read yesterday in one of yesterday's portion. That when that messenger takes that word, that prophecy, he tries to fulfill it. But when he realizes that it's not him, and God shows him that it's not him, then what he brings is more light. In other words, what happens with that prophecy? It is increased. The prophecy increases. Hosea, it is in Hosea where he tells us, let us see where that part is. Hosea. We didn't read it yesterday. Hosea chapter 12, verse 10 says, I have also spoken by the prophets, and I have multiplied visions and used similitudes by the ministry of the prophet. See, in other words, what God then does through that messenger is increases, shed more light of what was brought, which God would be carrying out later on. But they try to fulfill that in their time. But notice here, Brother Branham, just like our Brother William says, that God was reflecting himself in Brother Branham when he said, then I'm going to preach this, I'm going to preach that, I'm going to preach this and that. Notice, it is God reflecting himself in Brother Branham. What would happen? And if he says that he was going to be preaching, then in the fulfillment of the tenth vision, there must be a preacher. There must be an instrument, a messenger, bringing that word to the people. Surely the Lord would do nothing without first revealing his secrets to his servants, his prophets, Amos 3:7. And the believers of the last day will have a manifestation of faith. They will work on that project by faith, so that Christ may visit his church to have an encounter with our God in his final manifestation, where we will receive the rapturing faith, the faith to be changed and taken with Christ to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Remember that the revelation of the seventh seal will give us the faith. And the revelation of the seventh seal is in the seven thunders. You see how simple it is? Since everything is so simple, it is complicated, because no one expects something so great in such a simple way. Now notice on this message, that day on Calvary, on page 3, our Brother Branham tells us, he says, and oh, since the last time here, just bringing back and patterning of my new type of ministry. And I had more returns testimonies from that meeting than I have in any for a long time. There is something about that you must contact the person, regardless of how much supernatural is shown. But, see, healing has to lay upon the individual's faith. And he writes, healing upon the person's faith. And he draws Star of David. Remember that those who will not be transformed, well, they do not need that faith. Those who will be transformed are the ones who need that faith elevated in order to obtain that translation faith. Even in the tenth vision, notice, the time will come when people will not need their faith, but rather, with the faith of the instrument of one, will suffice. Now, if the individual has faith, and they see like the Holy Spirit go over the audience and say, certain things happened, and that you are such and such a name, and you come from such a place. Notice all of that was the first and second pool, which was publicly. And that's why later they did, the ministers did the same thing. And there were many impersonators imitating that same thing. And you come from such a place and a certain thing that you've done. And it will be this way. And see all of it happen just that way. Yet the individual sitting there should look up and say, that has to be God. I accept my healing. But instead of that, the individual says, lay hands on me and pray for me, so I'll be healed. But that's the way we're taught here in America, and so to believe that. And that's certainly scriptural. But now we find in Africa and different places, just let something like that happen, the whole audience reaches right up at one time, accepts their healing, because they haven't been taught nothing. See? And there he draws a Star of David to the right. See, they haven't even been taught healing. And then when they see that, they know that there is a God that lives, and if He lives, He's supreme, and He heals. And that is because the basis is already laid, the foundation, that He is a healer and heals the people. Then when they see His presence working through His church, then they say, that settles it. That's all we need. But we've been taught laying hands on the sick and things like that. That's the reason it doesn't work so good in America. Now, notice also in this message His unfailing words of promise. Here, our brother Branham tells us, here on page 3 he says, now, it's because that all men grasp for it, all that is sick. But if they would just stop a minute and try to consider what the word means. Faith is by hearing the word of promise. And to the left he draws a cornerstone and the ages. And above on the cornerstone he writes today, and an arrow towards the cornerstone and an arrow towards the ages. If you don't have a promise, then you venture out upon your own faith. But if you can take a promise of God, that's God's promise to you. There to the right, he writes, faith comes by hearing the word of promise. And he draws a Star of David. The woman that touched his garment had no promise of that. But her faith, without a promise, got her healing. If he could get her healing by her faith, without a promise in what she was doing, how much more ought we to get our healing? By faith in a promise. And he writes, Son of Man. By faith in a promise that God is manifesting and vindicating. And he writes, fulfilling before us, and has brought it to us by His word. Come around and confirmed His word. Also here in the message, perfect faith. Here he tells us on page 12. Notice that something here. Oh, could you compare a Christian today with them Christians of long ago? How them disciples walked in the power of the Spirit, moved by the Holy Ghost. Do it. Just a prisoner, as I preached on the other night, a prisoner to the Word and the will of God. He couldn't even move until God moved him. Wouldn't you like to see a church rise like that? Is going to. He underlines and circles, is going to come. Is going to, going back. It's got to come. That's right. It's on its road now, I believe. For the Word identified Himself what He was. And the same Word identifies us. See? If a man loves me, he keeps my commandments. And if he says he loves me and keeps not my commandments, that's all of them, he's a liar. And the truth not even in him. There to the left, he writes upward, a church like the apostolic church is coming. You say, well, I don't believe all. Well, then that you're just an unbeliever, that's all. If the Bible said so, that settles it eternally. What the Bible said is the truth. Notice where he said to us, if ye abide in me and my word in you, said John 15, if ye abide in me, personal pronoun, see, have faith in him. There to the right, he had written in that previous paragraph that we read, an unbeliever. If ye abide in me, personal pronoun, see, have faith in him. Ye abide in me, and my words abide in you. And Brother William writes at the bottom, if ye abide in me equals to have faith in him. And my word abides in you, then you ask what you will. Now, see, he knew who he was. Therefore, he had faith. Faith could produce when he knowed what he was. Now, if ye abide in me and my word in you, then you know who you are. Now, Jesus knew who he was. That is why every elect of God identifies himself in the scriptures. And when he knows and recognizes who he is, that gives that person an authority to ask according to the will of God to the Father. And he will give it to you. Then you know who you are, ask what you will, it will be given to you. Wouldn't that be wonderful tonight if everybody coming that prayer line say, I am a Christian, I have no condemnation. I know that my heart condemns me not. Something tells me that tonight's the end of my sufferings. That you're going to do. You go away here with something. No matter how much you come in emotion, how much you do, it won't work until that perfect faith has manifested and identified itself in you as a substance. And when it's there, then nothing's going to shake you from it. To the left he writes, if ye abide in me. And above he also writes, to know who you are in order to have faith. That is very important. Notice what he wrote here on the back. He knew who he was, and that is why he was able to have faith. Faith was able to work when he knew what he was. Are you hearing this? When you know who you are, there will be nothing impossible for that person. Because then faith can work. But it is when you know who you are. Faith was able to work when he knew what he was. If ye abide in me, that is to have faith in him, oh, glory to God. And my words abide in you, then you would know who you are. Ye shall ask all that you want, and it shall be done unto you. all that in that paragraph. And this is good to put it and frame it and read it every day. I know who I am, Lord. And every morning, and every minute, and every second. This is happening to me, this, that, but I know who I am. I am a chosen one. And the faith there begins to act. But if you're discouraged, no, this is happening to me, that so and so, a whiner, whining here and whining there. But when he stands firm and say, this is happening to me, this, that, ailments, problems, difficulties, whatever, but I know who I am. And then faith begins to work. And faith begins to move. And the will begins to move within the will. Blessed be the Lord forever. Now notice, in this message, between the lines, Brother William says here, preached on July 30th, 2016, there in Cali, Colombia. It says, and I'm going to read a portion for you here of what the Reverend William Branham says on page 12, paragraph 96 on the Book of Quotations. Let us open the book in that little part there in the Book of Quotations on page 12, paragraph 96. Now, it's written between lines lot of times, or between the lines. When we get our big tent, and Brother William says, look at where he sends us there, to see everything that is between the lines in regard to the great tent. Up out here somewhere, we'll take plenty of time and go through them. The R is still hard for me to pronounce. It is easier for me to use the L instead. But we're reaching that point. In between the lines. And Brother William says, or we will say, between the lines. Watch the resurrection thing, how it moves in there. Now there he writes, in the tent equals the resurrection. Now, he mentioned on one occasion, when he was told, that is not your tabernacle, he says that there was a gorge, a valley, there was a river, he said. And he writes, river. He writes, river. A valley, a river. Notice where the tent was sitting at. Now notice, here in this message that we have been reading from questions and answers from Conduct, Order, and Doctrine on page 3, paragraph 11. This portion is in the Book of Quotations on page 32, so you can have it there as well, on paragraph 267. It says, here in the booklet, and then when God's people begin to gather back together, there is unity. There is power, see? And whenever God's people gets together completely, I believe the resurrection will take place then. Notice, I believe the resurrection will take place then. There'll be a rapturing time when the Holy Spirit begins to gather it up. Because it is the work of the Holy Spirit. It'll be a minority, of course, but there will be a great gathering. Here in this booklet, he writes on the paragraph, or he draws on that paragraph. In the center, he draws Star of David to the left, and to the right, he draws a cornerstone and the ages, and circles the cornerstone, that is, it is circled. Now notice, the writing here on this page 32, paragraph 267, there on top he writes, time for the rapture, rapturing faith, the gathering is at the top. And he draws a little small cornerstone and an arrow towards the cornerstone. And on the right, at the bottom, in the corner, there where it says, begin to gather above, there he draws a cornerstone and the ages, and an arrow towards the cornerstone. Now here, our brother William continues to say, look on 74. They found a place on 74 where he tells us on paragraph 638 that the Lord Jesus woke me up the morning that the cornerstone was to be laid about early, about 6 o'clock. And I remember that morning when I had woken up and laying in the room, in the upstairs, right here on 7th Street, something said, rise up to your feet. And I got up. And I saw, as it was, a great place. And it was like a place where there was a river, and he wrote, a river, run in the valley. And he writes, a valley. He wrote, a valley. And I got down there to the river. And again, he writes, a river. And I understood it was a place where John the Baptist, then he writes Elijah, had been baptizing the people. And they had turned it into a hog lot. And I was very critical of it, just saying that it should not be done. And while I was there, there was a voice spoke to me and took me up. And I noticed this tabernacle in just about the state it's in right now. And there to the right, he drew a cornerstone and the ages and an arrow towards the cornerstone. But there were so many people till they were just packed all in the tabernacle, in this condition, about the state it's at now. And I was happy, standing behind the pulpit saying, God, how good you are to give me a tabernacle. And there at the bottom, he writes, when the cornerstone was going to be placed, on one occasion, I don't know if I gave the video to the teachers there, I don't remember. But a while ago, in this portion of quotations, I was speaking at the river, and I started to read it. While I was walking along a little path there is, and going up until I saw the tent, so that the children could see what it is, or something physical of the scripture. I don't know if anyone in Puerto Rico would have it. I don't know if I gave it to Raquel, that short video. Then we can prepare something, because the river is there, and you can walk until you see the tent. And so, it's good for the children's classes, so they can see everything he was seeing there. And at that time, the angel of the Lord spake to me and said, but this is not your tabernacle. And there, notice he writes, a valley, a river, and a tabernacle. This is not your tabernacle. And he writes as a question, whose is it? The question is answered already today. We already know whose place that is. That place that he saw of that great 10th cathedral. Our brother William continues to say here in between the lines, he says, look at all that is supposed to be happening there. Therefore, we are looking forward to that moment. And as we saw or you saw in the documentary that was presented from Puerto Rico by the Reverend Jose Benjamin Perez, whoops, the name is there. Notice we already know whose is it. Notice, it was not Brother Branham's tabernacle. He departed. Nor was it of Dr. William Soto Santiago. God told him it was his time to leave and he left. Well, it has to be of an instrument, of a veil of flesh, where God would be carrying out the fulfillment of that promise. As simple as that. And why do they complicate it, if it is so simple? But he said there that it is complicated. How was it? Let us see. Here. Because it is all so simple, it is complicated. The same simplicity, but it is a divine simplicity. And only those who understand, as it was said to Daniel, the wise will understand. They will comprehend. Of the construction, the things. We're going to have to read it, he says. Therefore, we are looking forward to the moment, and as we saw, or you saw, in the documentary that was presented from Puerto Rico by the Reverend Jose Benjamin Perez, of the construction, the things between the lines, we are going to see them come through in the fulfillment of the 10th vision. Therefore, we work with love and without getting tired of working, so that the 10th vision will soon become a reality, so that that which is in between the lines will soon become a reality related to the things that God will do in the fulfillment of the 10th vision, and that the rapturing faith and transformation will become a reality in each believer in Christ, and remembering that the rapturing faith is given by the seven thunders of Revelation 10. And the seven thunders of Revelation 10 is the voice of the mighty angel crying out as when a lion roars, and seven thunders uttering their voices. In the message, dedication, it tells us there in a portion placed here to him in a study. On this message, dedication, our brother Branham says, but he was Solomon, David's son, in natural flesh. Later, we read in 1 Kings, if you would like to read it, that he built the tabernacle that David was going to build, because Solomon was a man of peace, of wisdom. He did not go to war like David and had a lot of blood shed. He just was a man of peace. And God gave him wisdom. When he was asked for what he may before God, he only asked for wisdom. It must be because of what he wanted before God. And he only asked for wisdom to know how to lead his people. And he never taken the great gift that could have been done, but he just asked for wisdom to know how to lead God's people to the best. And I think we, in praying ourselves, if we would just ask for that, just for understanding, and he writes there to the side, to reach the rapturing faith, to be transformed. Just for understanding, for something that will be better for the children of God. I truly think that this pastor's idea of bringing this church in here, see, taking this old church and rededicating it today. He's trying to find a place out of the rain and snow and so forth for the people of God. I think God would respect it in this boy, just the same as he did in David. Now, we find out that there lays a great spiritual application here that I would like mainly to refer to. Now, if you read the First Kings, you'll find that in this, Solomon began as a young man to build this temple that his father had been promised through God that he would build. You see, he stayed in line with the scripture and promises. Now, that's what we must always do to be successful, is to stay in line with God's promises. To stay in line with God's promises. And there is where he writes, to be in God's promises. No matter how it seems best to go this way or that way, stay aligned with the scripture. And Solomon knew that God had promised his father David that he would build the temple. Now, if you notice, the material wasn't found only in Palestine, that this temple, because it just wasn't there. He had to go to the rest of the world, known world, to find these parts that would go in this temple. What a beautiful application that is, that God don't just cut his materials out of the Jews only, or out of the white only, or out of the brown, or red, or black, or whatever color they may be, or whatever, just out of United States only, or just out of Canada only. But he cuts his materials from all the world. A universal bride is what God is gathering together for a universal rapture. Now notice, on this message, the new year, preached on January 1st, 2017, in Calle, Puerto Rico, he says, we will have the visit of the angel of the Lord, the angel of God, the same one who delivered the Hebrew people from bondage in Egypt, the same one who appeared to Abraham on different occasions, the same one who also appeared to Jacob on different occasions. We will have him manifested through a messenger of the end time, who will be a messenger for the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we will receive the revelation of the seventh seal, and therefore we will receive the revelation to be transformed and taken with Christ to the marriage supper of the Lamb. That is how we will receive the rapturing faith. How will we receive the rapturing faith? With the manifestation of the angel of the covenant, the pillar of fire, operating those final ministries, the ministry of Jesus, Moses, and Elijah in that instrument. Now notice in the book of quotations, on page 54, paragraph, let us look here, 465, it tells us, Enoch, who believed in God so much, till when he taken an afternoon stroll with him, and just got tired staying on earth, and woke up home with him. I may not have that kind of faith. There he writes, rapturing faith. But I'll never stand in somebody else's way who has that kind of faith. And he writes, rapturing faith on top. I'll be thankful to God for somebody who can take an afternoon stroll and not have to die, and go right on up with him. I'd wish that I had that faith. And again, he writes, rapturing faith. Hope to have it at the end of the road, or before that time, if I can. See? And he writes there, rapturing faith again. He desired to remain alive, to obtain that rapturing faith. Above, he writes, Enoch with rapturing faith. I wouldn't stand before a three dots. There to the right, he also wrote several scriptures. In that little margin there downward, Revelation 11, 1-14, 7, 1-17, 10, 1-11, 5, verse 1, 8, verse 1, and 6, 1-16. Now notice in the writing here, he also left us. This is on the back of a study. It says, the works of the rapturing faith were seen in Enoch, Elijah, Jesus, today in the church bride with his angel, and in Moses and Elijah, the two olive trees. And he writes some scriptures there, Revelation 11, 3-14, 7-17, 14-1-9, 15-1-5, Zechariah 4:1-14, and 3:9. For the end of the 20th century, there is a dispensational interlace. Notice, this study was in 2000, May 16th 2000. And the title was The Works of the Rapturing Faith. The Works of Faith. For the end of the 20th century, there is a dispensational interlace, and the works of faith have to be present, fulfilling the divine promises of and for the end of time. Now, let us turn to 55 on the Book of Quotations. On paragraph 476, as much as your faith will be released, that's how much power you can have, because in you dwells the power to make heavens and earth. God dwells in you, and you are sons and daughters of God. Amen. There you are. But it's your faith. Jesus said, according to your faith, be it unto you. If thou canst believe, all things are possible. What we need today is not pray for more power. You got enough power to make a new earth. What you need is faith to use that power. What you need is control that life and live such a godly life that when you ask God anything, you know, we have confidence in God of that. And there he draws a Star of David to the left, and he writes, faith. He draws two Stars of David there on that side. And above he writes, revelation. Faith to use the power. In the Book of the Ages, on page 308, there he is talking about a dream that he had. Let's read it, he says. Let me tell you of a God-given dream I had about trying baptism. This wasn't a vision, but a dream. You know, I'm sure that one of the blessings of the church age was to receive dreams by the Holy Ghost, just the same as one can receive visions. Remember, that's something secondary. He said it in a message. He said, the dreams are something secondary. It was about 3 a.m. on a Saturday morning. I had just gotten up to get Joseph a drink of water. And he writes there to the left, 3 a.m., water for Joseph. When I lay down, I fell asleep instantly and dreamt this dream. And I saw a man that I suppose was my father. He was a great, big, burly man. And I saw a woman who was supposed to be my mother, but she didn't look like her. Even as the man did not look like my father, this man was very mean to his wife. And men should treat their wives, their women, good, with love, with gentleness. Not like some rag. And treating them badly. I have been written by several sisters of brothers who treat them badly, and this is wrong. They should not treat them as slaves. She is a queen, a daughter of God, and she should be treated as what she is, as a princess, as a queen. You will be called into account for the mistreatment you're giving your wife. Do not mistreat her ever. Apologize to her and ask her for forgiveness and find a way around her. Perhaps she is in that time that they call the menopause. It's a difficult time for them. Be understanding. Because you also go through andropause. Is that what it's called? Did I say it correctly or not? Andropause, see? Brother William wrote in one part there that they make fools of themselves from certain age to certain age. They think they're the cuties when they get to a certain age. And the wife has to put up with all of that, see? So, understand each other, work around each other. And we are about to arrive to the end. And don't be elbowing each other either. Rather, help her and the wife help her husband in everything. We are all children of God. And we all desire the blessings for our family. This man was very mean to his wife. He had a large club with three corners on it. You know, when you take a log and set it up on end and hit it with an axe, it makes a three-cornered wedge-like piece of firewood. It was like that. He would take this club and hit her with it and knock her down. What an abuser. As she would lay there crying, he would walk around with his chest stuck out, and on his face was such a proud, boastful look that he appeared to take great pride and satisfaction in beating up a poor little woman. Every time she tried to get up, he would hit her. I did not like what he was doing, but as I considered stopping him, I thought, I can't tackle that man. He's too big. Then he's supposed to be my father. But down inside, I knew he wasn't my father. And I knew that no man had the right to treat a woman like that. I went over and grabbed him by the collar and turned him around and said, you have no right to strike her. And when I said that, my muscles grew. And he writes there, rapturing faith. And I looked like a giant. The man saw them, and then he was scared of me. See? Anyone. Let's get out of here. And he draws a cornerstone. In other words, those are the muscles of faith. I said, you strike her again, and you'll deal with me. He hesitated to strike her again. I dared him. It was a dream, but notice. He hesitated to strike her again, and then the dream left me. Even when you hear that, it makes you angry. They get creative. That's the word. But it is that in another place. I think I hadn't read that one, maybe because. But also, it is also there. They get creative. Let us continue here. It says, and all of that is under the manifestation or fulfillment of the third pool, which will be fulfilled in a great tent cathedral. Therefore, this is what it is in store for those who are going to be transformed. This is what there is for those who will be transformed. All of us. This is what there is for you and for me. And taken with Christ to the marriage supper of the Lamb, and for those who have died physically believing in Christ. On page 168 from the Book of Quotations, there he tells us, that was in the message, the rapture. Let us see. Paragraph 1498. He says, but to the church, the bride, the rapture is a revelation to her. And there he writes, all revelation comes to the prophet. It's revealed to her. that the revelation, the true bride of Christ, will be waiting for that revelation. The true bride of Christ will be waiting for that revelation of the rapture. Now, it is a revelation, for the revelation is faith. You cannot have a revelation without it being faith. Faith is a revelation, because it's something that's revealed to you. There above, he writes, the rapturing faith. The rapture equals a revelation. The bride waiting for the revelation of the rapture. He also writes there, the revelation of the second coming of Christ. And he draws to the left a cornerstone and the ages, and an arrow from the revelation of the second coming of Christ, an arrow towards the cornerstone. Now, our brother William continues to say, these are the promises that there are for this end time, promises of a great blessings that will be fulfilled to prepare us to go to the marriage supper of the Lamb, and for Israel to receive the Son of David, the heir of the throne and kingdom of David, a descendant of David. Therefore, let us be prepared, because we do not know when the door of the dispensation of grace will be shut. Notice in January 1st, 2017, he was still telling us that the door of the dispensation of grace was open, and the age will be shut, three dots, or the feast of Pentecost will be shut. He was going to say something there. Or the feast of Pentecost will be shut, which that feast was being fulfilled during the dispensation of grace, during the ages, which belongs, that stage belongs to the holy place. Or the feast of Pentecost will be shut, and the feast of the trumpets will be open. There is also a place here, in a study that they placed an excerpt from the message, the third Exodus, to see what he wrote there. Notice, in this message, Brother Branham says, I believe, and say this with reverence, I believe the Lord has revealed it to me, and I, the truth. And if it would get among the churches, it'd tear the thing to pieces, which maybe it ought to be. But I'd rather just let the pastors of the churches get the tape and let them play it, and then they can lead from there on. But I'd like to just tape that to show the real truth of it. I believe this is the hour when these mysteries are to be finished, completed. They've been stuck on, and we said, down through the ages of the tapes, as we've brought those seven seals and seven church ages. And we're now facing a time for the seven trumpets, and then the vials. And maybe we could put a two-week meeting and put both of them together. I'd like to get it taped. And he writes, seven trumpets. And then, besides that, I'm trying now to get it proofread and make books out of it, of church ages. Seven book of the church age, seven tapes, and make it in such. We can get it done just as cheap as we possible can, so everybody can get it. Then if the Lord tarries and I move on, you'll see that the things that I've said in the name of the Lord will become to pass just as I was said, never had failed yet, and some of it has to happen later. And notice there, our brother William writes, the tenth vision, the third pool, the opening of the seventh seal, with the coming of the Lord, the service under the great tenth cathedral, the callings, the miracles, the rapturing faith, transformation and rapture, the trumpets and the vials, with the seven last plagues. He wrote all of that in that little corner downwards. Now notice here what our brother William continues to say. When the feast of the trumpets opens, the dispensation of grace would have ended, and the Lord would no longer be an intercessor, high priest, but King and Judge of all the earth, which will happen very soon. In other words, the time was coming. He knew that the divine cycle of the fulfillment of the coming of the Son of Man was arriving, the coming of the mighty angel of Revelation 10 to bring the rapturing faith to the church bride. We don't know how many days, weeks, months, or years are left before the door of the dispensation of grace is shut, and the door of the dispensation of the kingdom is fully open for the Jews. Therefore, there is a great blessing for the believers in Christ, and there is a great blessing for the Jews at this end time. On page 105 of the Book of Quotations, paragraph 907, it tells us, the time of the rapture is at hand, and we are looking for a rapturing faith that can pull the church together and give it some supernatural strength that can change these bodies that we live in. When we see a God that can raise the dead off the floor or out of the yard and bring him back to life again and presents him before us, when we see a God who can take a cancer that's eaten a man to a shadow and raise him up to a strong, healthy man, that ought to give rapturing faith to the people, that when that light flashes from the sky and the trumpet sounds, the body of Christ will be quickly gathered together and changed in a moment and taken into the heavens. And there below he writes, when the light shines from heaven. He also writes there, sun. Above light he runs sun, Moses. And to the left upward he writes, rapturing faith, transformation. And above he writes, the time of the rapture. That is here, on page 10 of the booklet, what we just read there. Now notice, a place here as well that he left us a writing where he tells us, the book of Revelation is symbolic, parabolic, comparative. And as Jesus in his parables hid great mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, so in the book of Revelation, he hid all things that would happen during the dispensation of grace and during the dispensation of the kingdom. But it is revealed to his church, to the firstborns written in heaven, in the Lamb's Book of Life, at the end of time, when the seven ages have ended, when there is no longer any way to prevent the prophecies from being fulfilled, the words of God. All that remain to be fulfilled are all the prophecies of the last day, which Christ, through his angel, will be revealing them to his church bride, to the firstborns, the rapturing faith. That is almost a message, that portion there. Now notice all that after the end of the ages, of which he spoke to us there, that soon the dispensation of grace would be closing, and that there would come that manifestation of that angel, that is, the mighty angel of Revelation 10. And in these words of greetings, which he gave on Sunday, September 3rd, 2017, in Calle, Puerto Rico, there he was beginning to recover. And notice, we all want the prophecy of the vision of the great tenth cathedral to be fulfilled, where faith will be given to be transformed and raptured. And the rapturing faith will come there. In other words, he has already identified more clearly where the bride was going to receive the rapturing faith, where faith will be given to be transformed and raptured. The rapturing faith will come there. That is the third pool that the Reverend William Branham spoke of. In the Book of the Seals on page 473, the Reverend William Branham tells us there, someone said, "Why, Brother Branham, people regard you as a prophet." Now, I don't say I was a prophet. Nobody heard me to say that. But I'll say this, that if you did do that, if you regard it, said, "Why don't you teach people how to receive the Holy Ghost and how to get this and how to get the great spiritual gift and help the church? How can I teach them algebra?" And he writes on the right, algebra. "How can I teach them algebra when they won't even listen to their ABCs?" That's right. You do these little things. Get down here at the bottom and brush it off and start right. Amen. All right. What was I talking about anyhow? Let's see. I didn't mean to get off that subject. Excuse me. See? All right. Some of us are mixed up. Is the Elijah that same as the... That's right. This Elijah that will come to the Gentiles will be a Gentile anointed with that spirit, because God uses that same spirit to bring his people out of chaos every time. And it served his purpose well. So, he comes in right back down again. Because now, if he uses a high-polished educated, that's the kind it would catch. He writes there on the left, Elijah is a spirit. And again he writes, Elijah. He brings a man that hardly knows his ABCs. And he writes, ABC. And can't pronounce his words right. In other words, he pronounces L instead of R. And can't pronounce his words right, and everything like that. Some old wilderness something out yonder somewhere, and bring it in, and shoves right down to that simple-minded people. Like Paul said, "I didn't come to you with polish of an education, but I come to you in the power of the resurrection." It's taken God 3.5 years down in Arabia there to knock it out of him, his education. Took him 40 years to get it out of Moses. And there to the right, he writes, Paul Moses. I don't say God don't, three dots. I'm not supporting illiteracy now, but I'm trying to tell you it don't take education. Don't. The wisdom of this world is contrary. Education has been the biggest hindrance that the gospel has ever had. If we didn't have education, we wouldn't have all these big seminaries and things that we got now. It'd be people, simple-minded, who would listen to the word. But they're so polished and messed up and tightened up out there, although them organizations, they're going to stay with it. That's all. They take on that spirit. To the right, he writes, know-it-all. Did you ever take a good woman married into a low-down man? That low-down man either becomes a good man like the woman is, or the woman becomes low down as he is. That's right. That's the reason he said, come out from among them when I'm getting ready to take that rapture. You got to have some kind of faith that'll take you out of here. Then he writes, rapturing faith and a cornerstone in the ages. We need that rapturing faith to take you out of here, my brethren, for the Lord to take us to the house of our Heavenly Father. Now, notice, there is also a place here where he left a writing for us. The rapturing faith. None have taken care of the patient, the church, to obtain the rapturing faith, which is found in the revelation that the thunders give of the seventh seal, which is the second coming of Christ, the angel of the Lord, the angel who was different from the rest, who has the seventh seal, the coming of the Lord. And he himself is the one that reveals himself through his angel and makes known his manifestation in human flesh through his angel. And that is the seventh seal revealed to the church bride and the seventh trumpet to Israel. Only the angel of Jesus, anointed with and by that angel who was different from the rest, can make known this mystery of the seventh seal, and through him, to hear the voice of Christ calling as a lion and the seven thunders uttering their voices. Everything is clear there. The way in which the rapturing faith would be received. Now notice on this message, the sweet smelling savor of a heavenly citizen, preached on July 11, 2015 in Valencia, Venezuela, it says, and now as the Reverend Andres Cruz Gallegos was saying, because Andres had spoken there of the tent, there is a secret in the tent vision, where the third pool will be manifested, and where faith to be transformed, the rapturing faith, will be given to the believers through the seven thunders of Revelation chapter 10, because it is the thunders, it is the voice of Christ speaking consecutively, the one that will give the revelation, the faith to be transformed to the believers in Christ of this end time. In other words, that everything will be completed in the fulfillment of the tenth vision. On page 80 of the Book of Quotations, there he tells us, on paragraph 683, and I remember when he swept down there in that big light, standing yonder at the bottom of the river, 1933 in June, when he said, as John the Baptist was sent forth and forerun the first coming of Christ, I send you with a message to the world to forerun the second coming of Christ. And around the world she went when revival fires had been built for 15 years on nearly every mountain, divine healing across the nations, and the power and the restoration. And now I believe she is ready to strike that final climax yonder. And he writes, 50 Laja. That final climax yonder to bring forth a faith that will rapture the church into glory. And she is laying in the message. And to the right, he draws a cornerstone and the edges, and an arrow towards the cornerstone. And below he writes, rapturing faith equals the final completion. In other words, the final manifestation of God in the midst of his church. After that last one, no one else will come. He is the last dispensational prophet of the dispensation of the kingdom. And above there, he also writes, on that page 81, above that portion there, he wrote, the final completion. On 167, he also tells us there, paragraph 1495, which is an excerpt from the message on the wings of a snow-white dove, which we also have here. That is on page 28 of the booklet, to see what he wrote there. Notice. Dear God, I thank you for these things. I'm reading from the booklet. That portion is placed there in on 1497. Father, you give Noah the sign. You gave the world the sign. And you gave me a sign. And the next day, seeing that eagle flying, O God, there is a message coming forth now. And I pray, God, that you let the dove lead. There he writes Holy Spirit, or HS. Granted, Lord, it's led me to a faith I never had before. I know, God, I know it's going to be all right, so I thank you for it, Father. And there to the right, he drew a Star of David, and above he writes, Rapturing Faith. And he also writes Eagle to the left. And tonight, send down your message again, Lord, on the wings of a dove of the Word. Granted, dear Heavenly Father, and everyone that passes through this platform tonight, and out yonder in the meetings across the country, may your great dove of faith fall into their hearts and give them faith, Lord, for their healing. Remember that God is not a respect of person. He could send the message to Noah, could send it to John the Baptist, could send it to me, can send it to others. I pray that that dove will fly onto every heart right now, Lord, with its little golden beak, and whisper that, by his stripes, by my wounds and stripes, you are healed. God grant that our transgressions will be blotted out, our iniquities will be forgiven us, and that our sickness will be healed. Now notice there he writes, the dove equals the Holy Spirit. The dove equals Word. The dove equals faith. And he also writes, golden beak in the golden age. The dove guiding the lamb. And also in a place he writes, eagle-lion. The mystery of the rapturing faith contained in the thunders. We have seen in these messages and some excerpts what the rapturing faith is, where it comes from, how it comes, and where God is fulfilling that program, that prophecy that was spoken, and that today we are feeling it with our own eyes, and hearing it also, and having fellowship with one another. The mystery of the rapturing faith contained in the thunders. Let us stand, and we are ready now to receive this message. And if we have any song with our brother Abraham, he can lead a song. I don't know if he already has one to sing all of us on this occasion. So we prepare ourselves to receive this message, titled The Mystery of the Rapturing Faith Contained in the Thunders. So continue on with Luis Young. Present him. Yes, go ahead. Let our brother Luis Young sing to us, who is visiting us from Chile. And to everyone who is visiting from different countries, may also God bless them, and may they leave to their countries with all the blessings that God has given us. And also those who will be traveling in the afternoon or tomorrow. May God also keep you, protect you, watch over you from all danger. And we will see each other in Mexico City on March 23rd, God willing. This day here has been of a great blessing, where the Holy Spirit has felt good in the midst of His people. And this audience that is present here, plus the one that is through the satellite Amazonas and the satellite Eutelsat 8, plus the audience from the sixth dimension, which is also present here. The pillar of fire, which spoke to Moses from that bush, which went with Israel through the wilderness and parted Jordan for them towards freedom. The pillar of fire, which was with Joshua before his people, the one who fought and overcame with his great strength, and took them to the land of milk and honey. The pillar of fire, which was in the prophets and in Jesus, which was in his archangel messenger, he's here today. He's still here today. The pillar of fire is speaking to us today through his instrument. He's preparing us for our adoption. He's God himself, the great I Am. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He told us in the stature of a perfect man. Notice on page 18, he says, speak the word. All I want you to do is say the word, and everything is all right. See, he didn't have to be there. Just say the word. Why? God is omnipresent. He's all-powerful. He's just as powerful beneath the world as he is on top of the world or on either side. He's God. And the only thing you have to do is just speak the word, he said. And now faith does the rest of it. Faith does the rest. So you must have faith for a foundation. All Christianity, all you are, all you ever be, is based upon faith in the Word. That's the reason I believe the Word, see? I can't put my faith on nothing else. If I was going to put it on the church, which church would I put it on? Catholic, Lutheran, Methodist, Baptist, Pentecostal? Where would I put it on? I don't know. They all scrupled up and everything else, twist lines and everything else. But when I put my faith in His Word, it's anchored. Nobody interpreted. Here it is. Thus saith the Lord. Then I believe that. There is the basis. And look at what He writes there. On the back part. Just speak the word, and the faith will do the rest. How tremendous. Just speak the word, and the faith will do the rest. Remember, have faith in what you are. the pillar of fire, which will fill this great temple with glory. The one that will perform miracles and wonders is becoming incarnate in our lives today. The pillar of fire, which was with Joshua before his people. The one who fought and overcame with his great strength and took them to the land of milk and honey. The pillar of fire, which was in the prophets and in Jesus, which was in his archangel messenger, he's here today. He's still here today. The pillar of fire is speaking to us today through his instrument. He is preparing us for our adoption. He is God himself, the great I Am, the pillar of fire, which was in the prophets and in Jesus, which was in his archangel messenger. He's here today. He's still here today. The pillar of fire is speaking to us today through his instrument. He's preparing us for our adoption. He's God himself, the great I Am. The Word was incarnate in the first coming, and it was anointed. He was called the Christ, and all those who received that work of redemption, they were called Christians. He was Christ, the Lord. And at his second coming, he is given us of himself. Therefore, the anointing of the Anointed One comes to be the anointing of the church bride. And you are identified as the anointed of the dispensation of the kingdom. Perhaps we don't have room here for everyone to come here. But there where you are, if you raise your hand up, you are identifying yourself as an anointed one of the anointed of God. And you are testifying that you have received in this end time that angel who was different from the rest, the one who has the seventh seal, the fulfillment of the second coming of the Lord. We are identifying ourselves. O Lord, behold your people who has received you at this time as claimer. We have testified this before you, Lord, and that your Holy Spirit rests in the soul of every child of yours, who in this hour have identified themselves as believers in the Anointed One, in the Messiah, in the Christ, the one who said that he would take his bride, that would come as a thief in the night, and gather her, whisper to her that I love you, and say to her, come to my house. Come to the supper that I have prepared for you. Father, help your people. Look at each soul, each heart. They are surrendering to you at this hour. Lord, I command them in your hands. May the anointing of the Almighty One be upon the whole church bride at this end time. And let that faith be active in each chosen one, that when they speak the words with their mouth, any petition towards you, Lord, may that power that you promised, Lord, to your church, Lord, may you manifest it in each elect, and you may answer them each petition and each word that they speak, be a, thus saith the Lord. And let them not be ashamed, for you have said that the mouth of the critics shall be shut. Behold your people, Lord. We commend ourselves at this hour in your eternal and blessed name, revealed as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, in this claiming work, O Son of David, the great I Am. I command them to you, Lord, in your hands at this hour. Amen and amen. May God bless you. May God keep you. And may the love that He has for us, may we express it with our neighbors, with our fellow brethren, with our chosen friends, and may we learn to use that divine love in all of its fullness, to use the faith of each one of us for others. That will soon be taking place. It will be your faith in favor of your family, in favor of your beloved ones. And that, all that a child of God asks, God will give it to him. Everything. Not some things that is impossible for you, perhaps, but the Lord, it's just that my son is astray. It's that just my father is not a believer. Or my mother either. Or my brother. Or my neighbor has done so much for me, Lord, has helped me in everything. Ask Him. Ask Him for them. Because if God gave Sister Hattie Wright her sons, we already have an example there. She asked, believe in it, I want my sons. I give them to you in the name of the Lord. He gave them to her. That is why, keep asking for your relatives. At some point, they will come and will be there accompanying you. And they will be holding on there to you. And if it is in the Lord's will, because there are crowns that cannot be without a head. And there are some who have let go of their crowns. But there are people out there who deserve those crowns. And there are our family. Therefore, if it is the will of the Lord, not that, we don't want them to stay behind. And we ask Him, Lord, if it is not too much to ask for you, I want to take them with me to the marriage supper of the Lamb. I don't want them to go through the great tribulation. Everything is possible. For the one who believes, everything is possible. There is nothing that is not possible. Therefore, keep asking and crying out for that extended blessing towards our family members. That is very close for all of that that you are receiving at this time, of that increasing faith to be of a blessing for all that multitude that will come, where there will be no limitations in what you can do. There he said, I wouldn't stand in the way of somebody who has that rapturing faith. Now, somebody may say, well, I want to get in front of somebody like that so he can take me with him. They will start to feel that attraction towards the chosen ones. And if someone has to stay behind, well, Lord, may you take him quickly and let them not suffer in that time. Well, it is a stage that will soon open in favor of so much need in the world. But now we take advantage as much as possible before that time comes. God giving us the rapturing faith, that manna, that revelation that was not brought nor given, and it is now being given in such a simple way. But all that each one of us needs is there. Everything is here. In the sacred scriptures, in the messages of Brother Branham, in the messages of our Brother William, everything is there. But it was coded. Now everything is being decoded. Now everything is being placed in its place. And now we are seeing who is behind the veil. Oh, but it's you, my Father. May God bless you and keep you and help you at each moment and give you strength and help you in every decision in your life. Don't despair. Be patient. Always cry out to God and He will give you the answer. Be wise in your decisions. Notice, Solomon could ask for a lot of things. He asked for wisdom. Keep asking for wisdom to God, then God will give it to you. Where and through what? Through the Word. May God bless you and keep you, and until March 23rd. And it may be that at some point we will see each other somewhere, either here or somewhere else. So, be prepared, because the third pool is being fulfilled and carried out as it was prophesied. And as long as God allows me to be on these trips, I will be doing so. Later on, we will be giving you the dates for Villahermosa. Because as of now, if we are going to have an activity like this, we have to say it with enough time so that you can prepare. But for one to appear there on a Sunday without prior notice, that can also happen. These are comfortable places. Notice, to speak without limitations. We've been like hour and a half, 2 hours, 3 hours. But notice, we spend our time talking and conversing as a family, as we say, as friends. and we are fed on the word which he is bringing to us. Well, see, if we continue, I'll tell you to sit down. And then, for today, we have the subject, and we will be seeing it, the mystery of the rapturing faith contained in the thunders. And do you know something? Maybe I never said this before. But when he was telling me, put on the Seven Seal series, and we were looking at the list, and I would tell him, this one has this much of duration. And he said, but cut it in half. And I said, but how am I going to cut it in half? We're not going to listen to the section what you've been talking about. And this is what I haven't told you. He told me, so that you have more time for you. At that moment, I did not understand. But notice, that was never spoken, nor did he say it, because it was one of the things that the seventh seal would be carrying out. One of the ways. And it was not given to known, because notice, it could be imitated. But anyone who tries, or has tried, or is doing so, have gotten themselves into a tremendous problem, because he is imitating none other than the seventh seal, which would be revealed in a simple way to his church, in this way giving that rapturing faith to her. Well, the mystery of the rapturing faith contained in the thunders. A beautiful audience, which makes you want to continue speaking. And notice, in the other countries, you have noticed that there is also that same environment that shows us, notice, the international bride. Because those who come to listen in each place is because they are the ones who want to live in the rapture. Therefore, the whole environment is like that. Good to speak and to continue speaking without limitations. Well, may God bless you and keep you. And I take you in my prayers. And you take me in your prayers. And loving one another, we will reach the goal of our transformation. The mystery of the rapturing faith contained in the thunders. With us, our beloved brother and friend, Dr. William Soto Santiago.